This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is Friday, and finally we get to be in the studio together.
Born October 19th in Boston, Massachusetts, our next guest started his comedy career in his teens, eventually moving to Los Angeles and quickly landing gigs at all of Hollywood's legendary comedy clubs. He's gone on to write for such series as Yes Dear, appear on Last Comic Standing, become a frequent contributor on Chelsea Lately, and host his own CMT talk show. You've seen his latest comedy special, Father of the Year, and this weekend, you can see him live on stage at the Improv. Please welcome comedian and longtime friend of the show, Josh Wolf.
Look at you, you handsome bastard.
What? All right.
He was supposed to be on yesterday, but then he got behind a car wreck and I wasn't feeling good.
It worked out better, thing, though. Yeah. I went back and I went to sleep, which is always nice.
Oh, yeah. I went to a nighty NyQuil for about 16 hours. So.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I was like, I went home and just chugged half a bottle of NyQuil and just, I was like, I'm out.
Let me ask you a question. Do you travel much?
Yeah.
Do you still, and am I the only person, there's something about walking into a hotel room that almost like the first thing I need to do is masturbate just to make myself, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't even unpack my bag.
To normalize the
just to
thing.
Make myself feel at home. Yeah. You know what I mean? The first thing I do, I'm like, well, where am I masturbating here? All right, let me just make myself feel at home.
Did I get the password? I'm going to get the password.
Yeah. The very first thing I do, but I don't even unpack. I don't turn on the TV. I'm like, let's indoctrinate this place into the Josh Wolf feel.
I feel like that's our pervert's version of peeing on a tree.
Yeah,
in Mark Air territory. We're just like,
yeah. Let's just make it's you nice. Know. You know what I thought would always be a great book if housekeepers or people the people who dug the hotel just wrote a book about the weirdest things they've seen or found in a hotel.
Imagine.
I would read that book.
The horror.
They must have seen, Johnny, they must have seen the worst, because people do and save the worst of themselves for hotel rooms.
Of course.
You do things in hotel rooms you would never do at your own house.
Dirty hotel sex. And that starts with that. And then just the way people treat it.
Yeah, listen.
Awful.
If you touch the curtains in a hotel room, you're doing it wrong. Don't touch those curtains. Oh. Don't touch. I'm telling you right now. I talk to a lot of comics. I know a lot. Don't touch the curtains. Bad things are happening on the curtains.
Oh, I made a mistake of buying one of those UV lights.
I did the same thing.
Don't ever do it.
How did you do that?
I'm never taking it out of the road again.
No.
I took it out and I was like, look. I was like, why am I doing this to myself?
Yeah.
My own house wasn't all that cool. Like,
let me tell you, you know the worst part, the part to me that was the most disgusting thing in the bathroom.
Yeah.
The ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, what are you?
How could it be possible?
How are you?
Yep.
That's a 10-foot ceiling.
Yep. I thought for sure I'd clean my walls and in the guest bathroom.
Yeah.
And I looked down, I was like, oh, man. I got the rubber gloves. I was like, that's terrible.
What is that? Why is there a body outline on the
headboard on my goddamn bed? I was like, that is not cool at all.
Yeah. First of all, you were like, nah, I might get a little more powerful than I thought I was, but I
still got the distance.
Yeah.
I loaned
just
it to
not
her.
The accuracy.
How was yours when you took it over to your house?
You know what? It wasn't as bad, and it's the bathroom. As soon as most people walk into our house, that means Maria cleaned it. God bless you, Maria.
Yeah.
Did you find anything where you're like, oh, man.
You know what my problem is? Hotels, and I was on a good streak, where I'd walk into the bathroom, and I'd say to my husband, I'm like, what? There's a pube here. Every time I walk into the bathroom, there's always some stray pube that we walk in right when we get there. And I'm like, is that like a welcome pube? Like you put a mint out?
Yeah.
I don't understand
Turn down service.
You should always do that from now on. You should, if you had pubes, you could leave one
of them. Here you go.
I can tell you for me, the grossest thing, and this is random, but the grossest thing that's ever happened to me in a hotel room, I was in Atlanta. And it was a nice enough hotel where it had a separate room from where the bedroom was. And I, so in the living room, I sat down on the couch and I, this is the last time, by the way, that I've worn shorts in a hotel room. I sat down on the couch, Johnny, and I went, ah, and I felt something prick the back of my leg.
No.
Ready for this? And by the way, I respect this because I love practical jokes. Someone had taken one of their big toenails and stuck it halfway in a cushion. So the half was sticking out. So it poked my leg. Now, I was grossed out, but I also was like, well, I'm not taking it out of the cushion. Like, I'm not the last person this is happening to.
I thought you were going to tell me it was a syringe. No. I was like, Jesus Christ.
But somebody took enough time to cut that big toenail, stick it halfway in, and leave it halfway out so it impaled everybody else.
You put someone's DNA in you.
So awful.
But I didn't take it out because I was like, listen, I respect the time and thought it took to do this. I'm not going to ruin your joke for you.
Yeah.
Would you have taken it out?
No. The other thing we would do, and it's not disgusting, but we would always not check out, and then I would take the extra sheets and pillows and form a human underneath the
That's
the comforter,
great, yeah.
And you can form a really good one. And then I'd walk out and leave a do not disturb. So do not disturb be on there. So then eventually they have to open the door, right? They're like, man,
time's up.
Whether or not, you got to go.
Yeah.
So they open that door. I have no idea if you've really left that, and then the maid has to see that, especially if it's down any kind of length away from the door itself.
That's
super good.
You should leave like a fake Silence of the Lambs scene where you're like, what the? You know what? It's a good one to do, by the way, which I do every hotel room. I set the alarm for 3:30 in the morning before I leave. So whoever comes in after me, 3:30 or 4 in the morning, that alarm goes off. You know, they're like, son of, because I never check the clock for the alarm.
No, never.
But I do. I'm sorry. I do now. Because
you wouldn't
even
know how to turn it off. You're like, I just rip it out of the
wall. No, you have no idea because it's one of those clocks where you don't have that at your house.
Right.
But that's a fun thing to do.
That's great.
Yeah. Well, it's one of my favorites.
What if you're the poor bastard next door going, turn it off, and nobody's in there?
Well,
speaking about that, next door is Miami. Oh, that's funny. Miami, my buddy Alex and I got stuck there coming back from Dominica, and it was a hotel airport. There's a hotel in the airport.
Yeah.
So we get a room. And these couple next door go at it, and we're like, I mean, and they're, I mean, you can hear it as plain as day. I mean, they're grunting and moaning.
Night,
and
day, what is it?
Like 10 o'clock at night.
Okay.
And they're, I mean, it's just, it's filthy, filthy. And at first you're amused.
Yeah.
And now I want to do something amusing. So I'm like, hold on, I wonder if this will work. And I go, what room are we in? So I go, 401 or whatever. I go, 403. And you hear it go, ring, 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 ring. And I was like, and then it stops, and just the time I hear him start to pick up, I go click, and I hang up like this.
You so blocked.
It was so good, man. And I was like, and they started up again. I'm like, we got to do it again.
Yeah.
After twice, I quit, but it just made me laugh. I was like, and I couldn't believe that it literally room to room. All you had to do was punch in their room number.
We're going to do this. I'm going to pretend to be you. You're going to be the 403. This is what I would have said. Yeah. I'm calling. Ring, ring.
Yeah. Hello?
Hey, I'm almost done. Can you keep going? I'm switching to my left hand now.
I know.
So.
A little less you, a little more her.
Listen, I'm just going to feed her a couple of lines. Can you have her say, I know your name's not Johnny, but I need this to finish.
Yeah,
that's amazing, so actually.
Because I was, I'm not upset with you. I'm just like, but I was like, I feel like I want to get in on this.
Yeah, I respect your game, but listen, we're all involved now.
We're in the same house.
So I'm going to need a little something from me.
We got snowed in New York a year ago after Thanksgiving. That big storm went through Baltimore.
Yeah.
So we ended up almost to Kansas City, had to come back. Then ended up running back to the city to get a hotel because I knew everybody was going to get canceled at LaGuardia. So I'm like, let's get back into the city and get a room before anybody else. So we get to the Ludlow in the East Village. And we're on the fifth or sixth floor, and they're real narrow in the East Village. Those streets are narrow. And I look at it, I go, oh, sassy. Come, go. We both look out, I turn the lights off. I'm like, watch. Dude, it's straight out of a movie. Their window's wide open. He's banging her on the countertop in the kitchen. He's sitting on a table. She's mouth-hugging him. He flips her over. They're doing it there. It's on the couch, and we're just like two creepy perverts. we're not 30 feet away. I mean, we're just looking through their window. They're one floor down. You can just see it. And we just go at it for 25 minutes, man.
Not like two creepy perverts.
The only way it could be creepier if I just pulled her pants down and like... Just let it happen. Let it happen.
If you had screamed out the window, hey, look up here.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's the only time in all my life I'd ever seen anything that close up and like that clearly and like, wow, this is really, you're real. This is all happening right now.
I think the weirdest thing sexually that I ever saw personally in public, I was in Seattle and I saw a homeless guy. I was walking by an alley. I saw a homeless guy eating a sandwich with his left hand, masturbating with his right hand. And I was like, I was confused at first, but then I was like, you know, look, some guy's Scarlett Johansson is a turkey sandwich. Do you know what I mean? So who right? am I?
That's what I'm saying. That's like, that's a good sandwich.
Like, who am I? He hasn't had a sandwich in a long time. So he was like, well, let's take care of two at once.
Yeah. You know? Oh, my gosh. Jimmy John.
Is that aioli? Yeah, that was the. I stopped for a second. And I was like, "Who am I to judge?" You
that's
know what
right.
I mean?
Hey, man,
that's a good sandwich.
Me? Yes, yes. Yeah.
I've been high enough where I've been like, "Oh, this sandwich is so good."
Oh yeah, trust me. There's been times, dude, we've had to pee so bad. You're lucky you're doing something else with it. Otherwise, I probably would have pulled out. Like, I feel so good right now. Like,
you've had food that good before, where you're like, "Listen, this is going to sound terrible, but I got a partial."
Yeah,
it's really good food.
Yes.
Are you, by the way, yes, I'm going to go to one barbecue this weekend. What are you telling me?
It's impossible. Because old school stuff is always going to be Gates. That's the original.
Right.
Or Bryant's downtown. Nice. But Jack Stack is outstanding. And then that.
What about Oklahoma Joe's?
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
That's probably the most famous that gets attention.
The best one is the one over here in Mission by the gas station. That's where I used to live over in that neighborhood in a little rental house. And it was a liquor store, a gas station, and then Oklahoma Joe's, and I used to go up there. I would wake up at 3 a.m.
That's the one. It's in a gas station, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the one you would go to?
That's the one. That's my favorite. But there's a good one out in Olathe, too, and then there's up north. I'm trying to think. What's the other? The Q32 is supposedly.
Q39?
Q39 is apparently the business. Like, Bob, who is an a-hole. Like, he is an old-school barbecue guy.
It's kind of got a new spin to it. It's different than the traditional, like you're saying, Bryant's and Oklahoma Joe's and Gates.
Although I had Slaps the other day, and Slaps was amazing.
There's so many. Like, you could go down the street to just a corner, and some guy's got a
It's hard, in my mind, to really make bad barbecue. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I don't know. I've been to other cities. I've eaten some bad barbecue.
Wait, it's a different style.
New York City's bad barbecue.
Yeah, but you shouldn't be ordering like.
No. I tried it in New York. I was like, maybe it'll be good. And I'm like, why would I do this?
I got to tell you, to me, like, you got to be smart. When I live in Southern California, right?
Yeah.
So you know what I don't eat other places? Mexican food.
Yeah, why? That's right. Right? That's right.
And you know when I go to the middle of the country, you know what I don't order? Fish.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I don't order salmon. See? You know what? Because
yeah.
it's not going to be.
Yeah, good. We're not. But meat. Like steak.
This is where you eat it.
This is where you eat it. You just got to be in New York City. You know what you're not eating? Barbecue.
That's right.
But any kind of Asian food, that is your spot,
Absolutely,
Jack.
Absolutely, man.
I will tell you something. You know how.
Dude, that's what we eat on Thanksgiving every year.
100%. This is how, for me, this is what I want. If I'm going to eat Chinese food, I don't want to walk into a clean Chinese food restaurant. When I walk into a Chinese food restaurant, I want it to look like that opening scene from Gremlins. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. When you walk into that place, I want it to be a B on the window. Yes, I don't want an A. A Chinese food place, you should walk in and be like, this is either going to be the most authentic experience I've ever had, or I'm going to have explosive diarrhea for the next month and a half. I want to see a little 12-year-old boy doing math by the cash register, you know, with his grandmother yelling at him. Like that.
Yes.
That's what I want to see. That's what I want.
How much soy sauce you need? Yeah.
I want them to feel like they're yelling at me when I want water. You want water? Yeah, okay, I want the water.
Oh my god.
That's what I want.
San Francisco that happened to A-hole Bob and I.
That's
in Chinatown.
100%. That's what you want.
It was so goddamn hot that day. We were riding motorcycles last year and we rode through San Francisco and we had the girls with us and it was hot. And we're like, let's go in somewhere and eat. It's so hot outside. And it's normally not that hot, but it was hot that day.
It's never hot.
I go inside, and then it's hotter in the goddamn building. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. And I'm like melting. But then the food is so good, I can't stop eating it. So I'm like.
That's what you want.
By the end, I'm literally soaked to the nipples in my shirt, but I'm just eating this food. I look like an episode of Cops. Like, it's like hair is stuck to my face.
You know what I did in San Francisco with my wife this trip, which was, I had no idea. You know you can rent.
Oh, those little cars.
Those little cars.
Yes. Yeah, little three-wheelers.
Yeah.
Yes,
and they're like tiny little, it's like the cover of that one Dr. Seuss Go Car Go. Yes, those tiny little cars.
So dangerous.
Yeah, but we we drove them around the city all day. It was because they give you an audio tour as you drive around. It'll tell you what you're driving past.
Pretty genius.
And it's a lot of fun, but I'm telling you, you're driving next to actual cars.
They're called go-cars.
Yeah, you are. You saw them, right?
Yeah, no, here they are. It's these.
You're driving next to...
That's a car at Disneyland. Yes, that's a ride.
You're driving next to actual cars.
Yeah, I almost ate it on Lombardi Street.
Oh, my God.
Why you would try that, I don't know.
So that was not on a rail?
I couldn't make it, and I had to stop and flip around and go the wrong way down Lombardi Street. Oh, I'm sorry, it's a two-way.
Yeah.
But I stopped and pivoted on that one back wheel to two in the front. I was like, And then I got lost, ended up in the Castro district. I was like, I'm sorry, there's a bakery. Is that that's a whole bakery full of dick cookies.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, by the way, the dick cookies, delicious.
I know.
That was my nickname in high school, Dick Cookie.
That's just true. Ended up in the Castro district.
Yeah.
And I was like, we ought to just look around here because this is going to get pretty weird, I think.
There are so many great spots. If you've never been to San Francisco, it's such a cool city.
It's a great town, man.
I would never in a million years live there.
Right.
But to go visit, because you can drive 5 minutes and be like, this seems like a completely different city.
Yes.
Like, there's so many different parts of that place.
Yeah, little pockets. And the weather changes. It's the weirdest thing because the hills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, the height is really great.
Yeah.
Then you drop down to, you know, by the wharf is really interesting. Then you go by the park on the other side. And that's really interesting.
The bridge is great.
Yeah.
Going great. But when you drove around on that all day, man. Mm. And the horn goes,
it was seriously straight out of Cars.
Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah.
And the mushroom helmet you got. Oh,
yeah. You know what I told my wife, too? I go, if we're getting in this, I need a scarf.
Yes.
Like, I can't drive around on this all day without a scarf. If I'm wearing that helmet, I need a scarf and I need some big lady shades.
We got tired in Europe, and my buddy Hector and I. Hector is an 8-time world GP motorcycle champion. All right. So he's a good rider.
Yeah.
He's about this big. Mm-hmm. He's not big. And we're tired. We walked way too far, and we're way on the other side of where we got to be. And we're in France. And finally, we see those awful little Lime scooters, those little two wheels.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude. And I'm used to walking, but I'm like, man, we have walked like 25 miles already today. We got up at 6 a.m. Now it's like 4 in the afternoon, and we've never stopped moving. And I'm like, I don't care, man. I don't care if I die anymore.
Yeah.
I get two of them, and we're riding these goddamn things. Let me tell you, that's a sure way to kill yourself. It's cobblestones. It's uneven. It's cracks.
Cobblestones.
It's concrete. It's asphalt. It's every. Imagine France with all how old it is.
Yeah.
How many different surfaces are available with a wheel the size of a goddamn rollerblade? Yeah. And you're doing 20 miles an hour, like and you're leaving.
How you were not in a vegetative state from brain damage.
Can I tell you, we were in San Jose, and my wife got on one of those little scooters.
Yeah.
With one of those little bird scooters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so she was like so happy, and she's flying around, and on cue, dude.
Oh, no.
She goes, I'm having so much fun.
Oh.
Look at me. And as soon as you say, look at me, you know the universe is like,
Dunk.
Yeah. So, soon as she said, look at me, Johnny, she hit like a lip, and the wheel wasn't big enough to go over this lip. She went straight
over the
front. Now, it's a good thing she had boobs, and still does, because when she landed, man, she landed to the point where strangers on the street, you heard a bunch of people go, oh! She landed so hard, people from across the street came to see if she was okay.
Oh, no.
No. You know what I was doing? Laughing.
Yeah.
I was laughing.
I know you're trying not to until you get her gauge.
By the way, can you hand me a tissue? So I'm laughing.
Yeah.
And right. And so people are running up going, are you okay? Are you okay? And her husband are like, ah!
That's so terrible.
And they started asking, are you by yourself? Yeah. And she was like, no, I'm with this a-hole who's laughing.
Oh, no. You know, the first time I ever did that was Austin.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a crazy town.
Dude.
That was awesome. We do going across that bridge, the Congress Bridge.
The Congress Bridge with the bats?
Yeah.
I was just there this past weekend, and I go to buy this homeless dude a piece of pizza. And you know, it's a very progressive city.
Yeah, that's a great city. I mean, I was really amazed. That's the first time I was actually ever there.
A great city, great live music.
Yeah.
Great live music scene. And also, look, I happen to be wearing it. I like weird stuff.
That's a reminder. Keep Austin weird.
And that city is. This is my merch. I'm going to send you one of these.
Cool.
Is this the your thing? Yeah. That city's so weird that I love going and talking to the weird people, the homeless people there. So I bought this dude a piece of pizza when I was down there. And I go, here you go, man. I go, have a great night. And he looks at me and he goes, I don't eat pizza. And I was like, you don't eat pizza? I don't eat pizza. And he goes, dairy's really bad for you. And I was like, so is living under a bridge, dude. And you do that every day. Listen, pizza is not your first bad decision. Okay, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, right. I'm sure you've made a worse decision than dairy. So dig in, man. You know?
How many vitamins does heroin have in it? Like, what are you doing, man? Like,
you know what? The next day, the very next day, this dude asked me for change, right? And I just pat my pockets, and I go, yeah, I don't have any change. I didn't bring any with me. He looked right in my face, and he goes, maybe you left it in your wife's vagina. And I was like, and you know when somebody says something to you that's so bizarre, you answer them? I actually said, nah, I wouldn't do that. I want to get it back. Like, I wouldn't leave it in her vagina. But it was the craziest thing anyone has ever. That's an interesting.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, maybe that's why you don't have any money. You're putting your money in the wrong places. You can't, <right. laughs> you can't invest there. Your return's not great. You know what I mean?
You're not, you know, the coin return's not a pocket vagina.
You know that's not Coinstar. You're not getting anything. Yeah. It's not pumping out a ticket for you.
So yeah, no, the homeless people, especially in Austin, because they're where junkies go. What do they give them, the
methadone.
Methadone clinics, yeah. Right down there downtown.
Yeah,
right off one of 6th Street or whatever. And so that's as the day progresses, everybody starts like zombifying towards this place, or in the morning when they give it out, and it gets pretty weird out there.
It's bizarre, dude. You know what I saw in Philly? Okay. I had never...
First of all, Philly is a godless town.
Let me tell you something.
That's a weird place.
I'm leaving my show, and behind the show, in this new area, I was at the Punchline, and they built a new Fillmore. And so they have this thing called the... And you can Google it. I think it's called the Philly Nitrous Mafia. And so when you leave concerts...
Right.
They sit outside with these tanks of nitrous, and they sell you balloons for $5.
They used to do that at punk rock shows when I was a kid.
Okay, Philly Nitrous Mafia.
As soon as I put in Philly Nitrous, Mafia came up, by the way.
And so here's the deal. Yeah. I leave my club, Johnny, and I'm walking out the back, and I look down this alley, and it's like The Walking Dead. There's just these people leaning up against the wall with balloons, but like 40-year-old soccer moms. And I'm walking, and when the...
Six up!
Yeah. When the nitrous guys want you to know that they're back, they clang the nitrous tanks, and it's so eerie, but you see like these walking dead people slide up against the wall and start to walk down the... And so I asked the dude, I go, hey, just out of curiosity, you don't get busted? I mean, you're out here in public. And he said, no, when the cops roll up, we just open up the canister and kick it down the alley. And by the time they get it, there's no more nitrous in it. And it's not illegal to have nitrous. I can buy the tank
it's only
if I
illegal to sell it.
To sell it.
So it gets. By the way, here's a quick statistics on that. It'll fill up 350 balloons.
$5 to $10 a balloon.
That's right. So you're talking about $300,000 a tank.
And by the way, and it costs them $50 to fill up the tank. $50.
Man, I'll start selling that.
I was
blown away. Isn't it crazy? And it's well known. Like, it's well known. They're the Philly Nitrous Mafia. And after concerts, they're going to roll up to a show and they're going to be behind the venue. And there's a line of these walking dead junkies.
Power and Light
and
Mafia.
And we've all done it. I mean, we've all done nitrous, man.
But think about how easy. It's a whippet. It's a whippet.
Yeah, whippet, yeah.
But they're getting $5 or $10 a pop on their whippet.
That's so funny.
And you know that high lasts like that.
Yeah, so it's like a minute and a half.
So you're going back. It's. Genius. It lasts quicker than blow.
And why wouldn't I just buy my own tank?
Yeah. I mean,
don't think too far with us.
If it's not illegal to have it, I can get my own goddamn tank.
Yeah, well, you need the license to be able to get the tank. That's the thing.
To get nitrous? Oh, yeah. I guess you, so I wonder how these guys get the nitrous.
It must got to be a dentist somewhere that is all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
But isn't that bananas? It's so well known. I asked the bartender. I said, the next night, I was at a restaurant in downtown Philly. Funny. I was like, I saw this weird, and I explained it to him. He goes, oh, that's the Philly Nitrous Mafia. I go, what is that? He said, everybody knows what that is.
Philly Nitrous Mafia.
Yeah, it's so crazy. So their profit margin
That's insane.
Insane.
I'd like to get in that business.
Oh my God, I'd start it with you this weekend.
This weekend?
Why is it we can legalize weed but can't get nitrous? Nobody's mad about nitrous.
No.
That cooler cart you bought me, guess what we're using this weekend?
Do you think you could, do you think the KC Nitrous Mafia in the Power and Light?
Yes.
Power,
yeah.
Would do
something? Yeah, because that's a bunch of douchey bastards down there who don't do hard drugs, so they would all do it.
Yeah, and they would,
because you know, let's face it. Once you've dabbled in the harder stuff, you're like, "That's cute." Yes, that's like somebody going, "Hey, you want a bump?" No,
no.
No. You got a couple eight balls? Maybe I'm in.
You get some of those broads. Yeah.
No, I don't really want your little fingernails.
You know what? By the way, I respect that. Listen, so the reason, and I don't drink anymore, but my wife used to ask me, "Why don't you ever drink at dinner?" And I used to say, "Are we killing a bottle? No,
yeah.
We're just having a drink." Who does that?
What's the point?
What's the point of a drink?
Right.
I'm going to have some water.
Can I put this the head in?
What are we doing? Are we staying out till 4 in the morning? I'm in. Am I having a drink at dinner? I'm having water.
Yeah. There's no point in even teasing myself.
I'm not doing a bump.
That's right.
Are we wrecking our brains?
Yes.
No? Then I'm good.
That's exactly right.
I'm with you 100. I never understood those guys who are like, I'll just do a bump. Why?
Yeah. Well,
first of all, nobody likes a quitter.
That's right.
Yeah.
First of all, the first thing, if you offer me a bump, I think to you, you're a cheap bastard. You want it to look cool like you're down, but you don't want to. Yeah, so.
Yeah, yeah. It. Or you're really greedy.
Yeah. That's it. You want to.
But see, weed is. That's why for me, weed is the perfect drug. Because even if you're greedy.
See, I wish I liked it.
Isn't that weird?
I can't get to it. I just can't. I try.
What was your drug of choice?
My pure drug of choice was always hallucinogens as a kid because we were all white trash, so you get it cheap and it lasts a long time. Then you get a little
like
older
acid or mushrooms?
Both. Acid's what started it, and then mushrooms kind of as you get older because acid's too jangly.
Yes.
And
it's too iffy.
Yes,
you
too
never
iffy.
Know
yeah, way too iffy,
what's man. Happening. Yeah. I
mushrooms
agree.
And like truffles and stuff in Amsterdam, there's a hoot. You know, everybody goes to their, there's cocaine around phase.
Yep.
And that's fun. And then it's creepy. And then you get a little look at yourself and you go, that's a creepy drug.
Dude, it. You look at, you know what was me one night? I looked at myself in the mirror. I'm like, who's that sweaty dude?
Yeah. That no talking, no listening.
Yeah. That lip smacking. That. But I will tell you, you know what I've been doing recently? I've been taking mushrooms every Monday night. Every Monday night, and I turn on my camera in the backyard.
Right.
And I just see what happens.
You just wander?
I live stream.
That's hilarious.
I live stream it. And I do the show every Monday night on my live stream called The High Live. Where I sit in my backyard and I sit in the backyard and I smoke weed for an hour straight, and I turn on the camera and see what happens, and I stream it, and it's weird. But then
I need to start sending you stuff to play with,
dude.
Like everything from flamethrowers to lasers.
Oh, come on, man!
Yeah.
You know I'm on board for that.
Smoke machines.
I do like weird stuff in that backyard, and then I started taking mushrooms on top of it. It's become my favorite hour of the week because I literally. Get to do whatever I want and just be super high while I'm doing it.
Dude.
And the mushrooms, are those your favorites?
Yeah, well, as an adult, sure now. Yeah, because that's the only thing I probably will do.
Because it's fun.
If I was somewhere and it was safe and there was really genuine MDMA, I would probably try that again and get
Me
down
too.
With that. But that just doesn't happen anymore.
No, because you can't trust it.
No, it's all junk.
Do you remember the first time you took that drug?
Oh, yeah, when it was real.
And you thought, I'm doing this every day for the rest of my life.
Yes.
This is the best feeling.
Have you ever tried it?
No,
real?
I haven't.
It's as good as
Where
good
were
guess.
You? Tell me the first time.
It was the Lone Star Bar. My buddy had it. I'm not going to say his name because he's a grown-up now. And then my other buddy was with three of us in a car. And he goes, here, take these. And it was only about a three-minute drive to the bar.
Yeah.
And we took it to his house. And between the time we got there, it was about 25 minutes, it started to come on. And I was like,
yeah, that the breath. Yeah.
And I'm like, this is a lot, isn't it? And I was like, hey, man, I got to get out of the car for a second. So I got out and I threw up on the ground. I was like, bah. But it was like the happiest throw up you've ever had. I was like, woo, that felt good. I was like, you guys ought to come out here. The air is real nice. Went inside holding a sweaty can of beer. You're like, this is so good. The waitress, the bartender, and Jamie, she saw it. She goes, oh, she can see immediately what's up. She's like, you boys want some cold drinks?
Yeah, you want some orange juice?
Yeah.
You know I do.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That was the same night. that the buddy who supplied it had another one, and he was going to take it. I told you the story, and this is a legendary sweaty, dirty rock bar. Like everybody played. So I left my house and changed to Soundgarden. Like everybody played.
Really?
500 person bar, old wooden floor. I mean, everybody. And he dropped it, and I could see him. It's grabbing, and he's trying to track it, and all his feet, and then he sees it, but it's already been stepped on, and I just see him do it. I see him just go off the floor with his finger, and all right. And stuff.
I'd be disgusted if I can say I haven't been there.
Yeah.
but those first days of MDMA, I've never felt that good before.
Yeah.
That first, you chase that dragon.
Yeah.
But it was the most amazing.
Well, it was legal.
Yeah.
I mean.
There were bowls of it. You could walk into a club and pay cover, and there was just a bowl.
I actually did that. It was not the first time, because I had to really process that back. First time was in Omaha, Nebraska. Same dude took me to Omaha. He was moving here from doing radio. We drove the station van to pick up his furniture from Kansas to Omaha. And he said, have you ever been to a rave? And I go, what's a rave? That's how new it was.
Mm-hmm.
Takes me to the downtown warehouse district in Omaha. And I mean, I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah. This is awfully rapey.
Now we're totally sober here.
Yeah.
And he walks me up this stairway and the door opens with sliding wheel doors. And I'm like, there's a whole thing going on, just awful music. Oomps, oomps, oomps. And there's a dude on rollerblades who's dressed up like the Joker.
Yeah.
And there's chicks. And the whole thing. And then pretty soon, DG was like, he goes, here, do this. And I'm like, what is it? It's a pill. And I'm not in the pills. And so I'm like, okay. I take it. And then, whoo, all of a sudden it's on. And at one point he goes, I just remember this girl was so hot dancing in front of the speaker. I mean, like, and he goes, hey, dude, stop staring. You're creeping out the streets. I was like,
I'm glad. I'll tell you, the only thing that I've never did that I do want to try, but I'm going to wait until the doctor tells me I have 6 months to live. As soon as he tells me you got 6 months to live, I'm going to be like, go get the heroin.
Yeah. I actually snorted it once.
What?
Yeah. L.A. when I was 18 years old.
Did you know? Because I know people
who
snorted
it.
Yes. So I know somebody that happened to.
Yeah.
And so what did that do when you snorted it and you thought it was coke?
Well, it's not the thing you think it's going to be. Like,
fair enough.
Yeah.
And I remember it was at a party. I was 18 and a half, 19 years old, and in the valley. And a girl's name was Lori Kay. Her dad was a movie producer. He did a movie called The Wizards of Speed and Time. And she had a pink mini truck. And the license plate said "Bubba Boing" on it.
Oh my!
She picked me up at the Hollywood Club when I was 19 years old. And so we're at this party, and everybody's doing a rail. They're like, I go, oh yeah, I'm in. Sure, I'm from Kansas City. I do this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it really effed my stomach up.
What did it feel like going up the nose? Did it burn?
Yeah. Definitely. It definitely was not cocaine.
Right.
And then you're like. And then it's like the Jesus hug, right? Like the...
Yes.
The warm hug.
And you're sitting on the couch. And I'm like... I was there for a solid hour and a half. Oh,
and did it feel good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good enough that you went, oh, yeah, I'm not doing this again. I'm never trying this again, ever again. And now that's the real problem is, you know, not to get too serious, but this opiate thing, that's all that stuff is. Dude, there's no heroin in the world as strong as that fentanyl.
No.
There's no heroin. These oxys is the best heroin you could have ever scored on the street.
And it's coming cheap pills.
Yeah, these are just heroin somewhere above Vicodin and below oxy.
Yeah.
You know, but at the time, if you've never experienced it, holy hell, right? But that's why it's so very dangerous.
You know, the one time I snorted something that I thought was going to be coke,
mm-hmm.
it was the only time I had ever done meth.
Oh,
and so
that sucks.
So
that happened to me once.
My buddy,
but they told me it was cranked back in the day.
Yes,
awful.
And so my buddy put a line down, and I did it, and it burnt so badly.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, you know, maybe it was just this nostril. I should try the other nostril. You know that mentality where I was like, well, listen, I got to double this up. I mean,
it's
I can't.
So good. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah. I'll be uneven.
I was okay. That's the only time in my life I've been kicked out of a strip club. You know how?
You go howler monkey?
Okay, so I was in, I was with my buddy, and this is how bad we must have looked. Because I don't think meth heads know how bad you look.
No, there's no way they do.
There's no way. Like you turn a different color, there's a thin layer of something all over your body.
Vaseline.
Let me tell you how bad I looked. The strippers were saying no to the lap dance. I would be like, hey, and they're like, nah. Yeah.
So your jaw's doing the left to right instead of the up to down.
Yeah. So this is what happened to me. I finally, one woman was like, you want a lap dance? And I said, yeah. And she was standing next to a big dude. She was like, come with me. And she was like, give me the money. And I gave her the money. She opened the door and she walked me right out into the fuck. She walked me right out into the parking lot, the back parking lot.
Beat it.
Yeah, it was like that scene right out of a movie. I walked outside. I was messed up. I look up, the door shuts, and I turn around. And I was outside. I was like, so I walk up to the front and I say to the woman at the ticket desk, I go, I'm sorry, they must have let me out the wrong door. And she goes, knew. She was warned. No, she was like, oh, no, they let you out the front door, the right door. I go, no, I got friends. I got friends who were in there. She was like, not for long. Wait right here.
That was good of her.
2 seconds later, my other buddy came around the back. He was like, did you walk out the wrong door too? I'm like, yeah. I don't think we walked out the wrong door, man.
All right, smooth. Hey, listen, we got to say, let me take a quick break here because I know we got Michael Starr coming. Stay with us.
All right.
All right, listen, I got Josh Wolf, and he's at the KC Improv this weekend, tonight, tomorrow night. He's hanging with us. Stay with us, Josh. And do you know any of the guys in Steel Panther?
No, but I love those. Yes, I've seen them a bunch of times.
They're, man, you ought to stay over an extra day and see them Sunday night.
I got to tell you, community property is just, when I used to travel with Cable Guy, we listened to that song almost every night before a show.
I'm going to let you tell Michael. Let me take a quick break. We're going to come back. Michael Starr's on the show.
Oh.
All right, stay right there, guys.
This is the Johnny Dare Morning Show.
The Johnny Dare Morning Show.
On 98.9 The Rock. 98.9 The Rock. Broadcasting live from the Brown and Crouppen Studio.
Josh Wolf, who's at the KC Improv, who's a big fan of the next No Good Son of a Bitch, who's on the show.
Our next guest is the lead vocalist for the Hollywood-based band who went from taking the Sunset Strip by storm to becoming an international phenomenon at festivals around the world. His name is Michael Starr. The band is Steel Panther.
Latest album, Heavy Metal Rules, is out now, and this Sunday night, you can see them live on stage at the Midland Theater. Please welcome, Steel Panther lead vocalist and friend of the show, Michael Starr.
Is this...
All I wanna do is... Oh, what's up, dude?
What are you doing, brother? I was hoping this would be you and not Latrell Sprewell.
Oh, dude, he called me again last night.
I got to tell you this. I told the audience a story this morning that I got a text. I was with Craig Gass. I was telling you Josh Wolf. By the way, Josh Wolf is here with us. He's a big fan as well as a comedian. He's at the Improv this weekend. Josh?
What's going on, man? Josh. I just want you to know that we used to listen to Community Property before we went on stage every night when I was touring with Larry the Cable Guy. We love that song.
Oh, dude, that's rough. Thank you. That's a great compliment.
We seen you a bunch of times in LA too, man. You guys put on an amazing show.
The best
an
show.
An amazing show, yeah.
It's
thanks, dude. Now we are freaking people out all over the world, dude.
Oh, it's insane. Wait, January they're in Estonia, Finland, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, Germany, and they're going to sell it out everywhere they go.
I thought Estonia was a fake place just for Avenger movies.
I know you would think. Hottest chicks in the world. In the world. In the world.
Really?
Estonia has the hottest broads in the world.
Come on.
I swear to God. Google it yourself. Per capita, the most attractive women in
first,
the world.
First, I'm going to have to Google how to spell it.
Yes, exactly. So let me backtrack a little bit. I'm with Craig Gass, and I go, look at this weird text I get. It says, hey, Johnny, this is Latrell Sprewell, former NBA star. I just want you to know I'm a fan of your show. Hit me back if this is you. And Gass just looks at me and goes, yeah, that's real. And so I just don't answer. I forget about it. Then Jesse James Dupree from Jackal yesterday hits me. He goes, look at this text I'm getting. And he had actually answered him. And I go, it's the same thing. And he goes, Michael Starr gave him my phone number. So I text Michael, hey, Mike, this is really weird. Because it's a random thing. And he goes, yep. The guy had been texting me too. Somehow this guy, this scam artist, this guy pretending he's Latrell Sprewell. And I don't know if I sent you the article, Mike, But there was a Deadspin article a year and a half ago. Yeah, a year and a half, 2 years ago on the same type deal. Somebody running around as Latrell Sprewell trying to scam everybody for tickets and NASCAR and backstage and who knows how else they're going to dig in on you. So we're all...
And he got me good, too, because I thought, oh, my God, I can't believe somebody famous knows me, right? So, he says to me, he goes, hey, thanks for the tickets for your show. They're actually not for me, they're for my sister-in-law, blah, blah, blah.
Right, there's
the
scam.
And then he said, hey, you wouldn't happen to have Jesse Dupree's number. And I'm like, yeah, of course I have Jesse Dupree's number.
That's
so, I gave him that number. And then by the time he started texting my wife and all my other friends, I was like, this is creepy, man. This is not him.
Yeah,
and
well,
then
that's
down that rabbit hole you just went down, Johnny.
Yeah, how much fun it would have been. I wish we'd have thought about it a little bit more and been like, what name are those under? Just so you could stand up there and wait for him and be like, come here, you. I want to talk to you for a minute.
Yeah. But what a it's funny, like Latrell Sprewell is random enough.
Yeah, and he's like, I'll choke a bitch out.
Yeah, it's random enough where you're like, okay, yeah.
Right, but not for me though. For Michael Starr and the guys at Steel Panther or Jackal, sure, I see an NBA star wanting to reach out to those bands,
yeah.
But he's not reaching out to some
I thought, wow, he's pretty cool, man. He has more street cred fighting on the court, and then he's calling Steel Panther for tickets. I'm like, this could be legit.
I just saw these guys in New York City, the Gramercy Theater, two sold out nights over Thanksgiving, and it was insane. That crowd was goddamn ridiculous, Michael.
Yeah, that was a pretty crazy night. And then we have this opening act, and the chick in the band is super hot. And everybody just wants to have sex with her. And it's really hard not to cross that line. Because we usually have ugly dudes playing, you know, and the guys, you don't want to have sex with them unless it's Lexi Fox. So having a hot chick on the road it's tempting, it's fun, and exhilarating, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, those were amazing shows. I was really, I love the fact that New York was so into it. I mean, you want to talk about, like, a crowd that knew every word to every song. I mean, they were roaring out there.
Do they dress up for the show?
Oh, sure.
They do dress up. Look, in New York, you know how it is. They either hate you, or they love you, or they pretend they don't like you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, even if they love you, sometimes they don't give it back. And I'll tell you, for us, this is probably the first time that we've ever had them just really just open up and just really be into it. And it was killer, man. It was actually hot chicks there, too.
Oh, we were so sold out. Like, I mean, we were just literally pushing our way to the crowd, trying to get somewhere to see to the side. And I was just so happy for you guys. Because, I mean, it was just, and again, it was two sold out nights. And it was a really good time. And thank you for all the hospitality.
Oh, you're welcome, dude. That was great. It was really nice to have you.
It was
I didn't think I would see your face in New York, and then I did, and I was like, wow, this is crazy.
Yeah.
How'd you get there? Did you fly?
Dude, they actually have airports in Kansas City, believe it or not. They do.
I didn't know they did. I was like, God, that's crazy.
Dude, Craig Gass was beside himself. Gass was beside himself to say hey to you guys.
Oh, I'm sure he was.
Yeah.
He's
a great guy. I've known him for a long time, and I love the story about Eddie Van Halen. I didn't know he actually lived with Eddie Van Halen. So, to me, being that close to somebody who was that close to Eddie Van Halen, that excites me too. Listen,
I don't want this to blow your mind, but Craig also lived in my house for a little while. So,
holy God, are you kidding me?
We started doing stand up together in Seattle. He lived in my house for a little while. He used to come into this place that I worked at and get a free hamburger every day. But to repay, he's always been great with somehow getting tickets to things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like the master.
It's ridiculous.
We went and saw Kiss.
It's Latrell Sprewell.
Yeah. We went and saw Kiss Unplugged with no makeup. Through Craig in Seattle, which was crazy to me.
The craziest thing I ever saw happen.
You know this for sure. If Craig's living with you or your best friend, you made it.
Yeah. Dude, one time, I'm watching at the end of a Super Bowl, and I'm not kidding, the Patriots won, and I talked about this, and I look at the field, and I go, is that goddamn Craig Gass? Yeah. And he was standing next to Tom Brady on the field while the confetti is goddamn falling.
It's crazy.
You know what I'm talking about,
no,
right?
No, but it doesn't surprise me.
No, you can look it up. You can find this video. It's on there. It's online. It's on YouTube.
He always has had crazy, crazy access. Yeah. Now, did you know him when he had really, really long hair?
No, I only knew him the sober Craig.
I met him after that.
Yeah. So he blew us all away when he had that long hair and he first started doing Kinnison. It was and he would let the hair down.
That's so funny.
Eerie.
Yeah. He's good.
His Kinnison is next level. But his Gene Simmons.
Yeah.
You know what? The weird voice that he does better that you wouldn't expect to be a voice, Gene Hackman.
Wow.
You're like,
that's weird.
Yeah. He goes, I do Gene Hackman. I'm like, I can't even picture his voice in my head. But right. Then he starts talking. You're like, oh, yeah, that's you.
Have you ever got him up on stage with you? By the way, if you just joined the show, I'm here with Josh Wolf and Michael Starr from Steel Panthers. The Panther show is this Sunday night at the Midland. Now, Josh is in town at the Improv for Friday and Saturday night. So I've just filled all three of your nights, you sons of bitches. have you ever had, pulled Gass up on stage, Mike?
Yeah, he's been on stage. He's done, like a 10-minute bit before us.
Well, I know he's open.
I don't think he's a singer. He's not that sexy. So as far as getting him on during the show, that would probably be a detriment to the band. So,
Dude, the band is
pretty
on
cool, though. Yeah. You know what? I was just trying to remember when we first, I think the first time we met each other is when we were doing the Gene Simmons roast. I don't know if you remember that, Josh.
But, oh, yeah.
I think that's where I met him, and he was doing his Gene Simmons and Christopher Walken, and I was like, wow, this is pretty amazing to watch somebody do those right in front of the actual human being themselves. It was killing it.
Yeah. Well, where are you at right now, buddy? Where'd you guys play last night?
Dude, I am off, and I'm walking around the neighborhood of Wichita.
Get in a car.
Wichita.
It's creepy. I look like I'm trying to rob something.
Dude, Wichita. It's Indian for a trailer park.
I didn't want to say that, but you did.
So I'm
walking along the river, man. It's really pretty. It's a nice walk. It's all redone and pretty. And I'm walking. I'm normally not up this early, so I just stayed up all night like I usually do.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are.
Well, listen, the show's going to be fantastic. You guys are firing on all cylinders. It's a fantastic show. And the good thing about the Steel Panther show is it's ever-changing and evolving. I mean, it's never the same show two times in a row because so much of it is audience participation, who you see out in the crowd, how it's going to go, the interaction between the band, but the whoever you've got running sound for
and
you.
Also, bands like Motley Crue give us great material to work with. You know what I mean? Every time something weird happens, we can talk about that on stage, and it's fun. It's like, we're talking about the day-to-day stuff and people like that.
And I love Motley, as you guys love Motley. And I grew up with Motley.
You know, I love Motley.
Of course. And so do I. But, man, why Nicky? When did he grow such a thin-skinned ass?
I don't know, dude. I don't know. It's ironic because I woke up thinking about Nicky Six. I thought, God, man, why is he so mad at us?
Yeah, well, you know why? Because it's true. The joke is true, but not necessarily Motley. Look, Vince is fat. That's the truth.
Yes.
And you know why he got mad? Because the joke is, we're talking about Vince being so big, he knew that they were going to double back on that bogus, the no more touring contract. And so knowing he's got to go out and have, and I love Vince Neil, but I have to pretend he can sing and that he's not that fat or I can't enjoy the show.
He's trying to convince himself.
Yeah. The last time I saw Motley Crue was at the Hollywood Bowl, and Vince Neil was supposed to run down this giant spiral staircase to start of the show. He made it down about three quarters, and he stopped, and he leaned on the rail, and you could see him. So they had to extend the walk-on music for him because he was catching his breath, right? Later in the concert, he was singing Kickstart My Heart, and he would run from one side of the stage to the other, and instead of singing, he would bend over and lean on his knee and just point the microphone out to the crowd because
I love Motley, so I just pretend it's not real. I pretend getting fingered by an uncle in your childhood. Just put it away.
Oh my God.
And so
we've all been thinking it's not real, it's not real, and for like 10 years now.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's real.
I know.
And you know what, though? Hey, I'm glad they're going back out, though.
Of course.
I know you guys are, too, because, you know, I love heavy metal. And who doesn't like Def Leppard? Who doesn't like Poison?
Yeah.
It'll be a fun tour, and I hope it sells out.
Of course.
There's a bunch of awareness to our tour.
Well, and this is the thing, is I love Steel Panther. And here's the thing. A band that's threatened by how good you guys are, and I'll say it because you won't. Musically, you've seen these guys.
Amazing.
I put them up against any band, period.
I agree.
And so the bands that have nothing, like Priest took you out because they know it's a great show. Because Rob Halford's not freaked out by you.
Yeah.
You know, and the band is not freaked out by you because...
He just wanted to have sex with me.
Sure. Well, who doesn't?
Yeah, I mean, join the club.
Now,
you know?
I'd say you're a little feminine for him, but you know... But I mean, but a great band is not threatened. But whereas, and I wouldn't have thought Motley was this way, but I think the weakness in Vince, you know, people always react with anger towards something that they're genuinely insecure about.
I must have missed that. Are they
angry? Oh, they got sideways about Steel Panther, but just because on stage you'll joke about, you know, Vince being big.
He is.
And then they talked about Vince Neil being dead.
Johnny, just tell them what really happened.
Well, which the
truth?
Which part?
Here's the truth. I was getting interviewed by some kid in New York. And he asked me, he said, if there's any rock star you could bring back from the dead, who would it be?
That's right.
I said, Vince Neil.
That's hilarious.
That's right.
And he said, Vince Neil's still alive. And I go, no. I said, I would bring back Vince Neil from 1984.
Yes.
To now. And he's like, oh, my God, that's funny. Ha, ha. And then we get fucking a bunch of tweets from Nikki, and he was so mad at us. He called us a bunch of fucking assholes.
I did the dump button twice.
Oh, sorry. I forgot we're on the air.
It's fine. I got it.
Yeah.
I got it. So, but that's it. And it sucks because you go, come on, man. It's just a joke.
But you can't take a joke.
And so I don't know if he was drumming up publicity for his tour announcement.
Yeah.
Or if he really meant it or if he's really that thin-skinned. I'm like, look, nobody calls you out on the bogus idea that you actually died in the hospital and jumped into a car and drove away. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like we all give you that because it's a better rock and roll story. But in the end, we have to pretend that some of the stuff you say may be stretched beyond the pale, Nikki. You know?
Vince Neil doesn't know that he's bigger than he was.
Oh, I think he does.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't have a funhouse mirror at his house, right? He doesn't stand in front of that and go, I'm tall and thin. Like, that's not happening.
Nicolas Cage, do these pants make my ass look fat?
Oh, my God. What a duo.
That is a dinner I would like to sit down at.
Yeah. Why? You don't want to eat?
You're
going to
eat that?
Ain't going to get nothing. Michael, listen, here's the thing. You guys do a great job, and some people take exception to you, but I think those are the people that are taking it too seriously. What you guys do is provide the best rock and roll show for the money that's out there today. There's no doubt in my mind. Man, go watch these guys. And if you doubt any credibility.
We're the best $5 show out there.
It's true.
People always have made fun of us. So why can't we make fun of other people?
Yes.
And it's all a good jest. I mean, it's like, if you go watch John, I'm sure you rip on a bunch of people, too.
I'm going to make fun of you tonight.
It's all having a good time.
Yeah. Well, listen, again, you know why it doesn't bother you? Because you guys in your heart know how good you are. And that's the end of it. I mean, that's you know, nobody hurts anybody's feelings. If somebody says something, you know, whatever about you, and you know you're good, you're a great singer, you know, Satchel's an amazing guitar player. So if they're like, oh, Satchel's a terrible player, he doesn't get mad because it's just not a real, insult.
I'll tell you what I was blown away by. When I saw you guys, I knew how much I liked the music, but I was like, this is one of the tightest live bands.
Yes.
I mean, tightest live bands I have ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, the live show is amazing. But it's also like a show. You're putting on, what I love about watching you is that you guys put on an actual show. Some people just get up and play their music.
Right.
You're also entertaining us. It's a great show.
Yeah, it's important, dude. It's like what a girl wants, you know. We want to be tight all the time because if you're going to play your music, it's got to be tight. It's got to be all together. And you guys got to, I think it's really important to sound relatively close to your record so people can understand what you're singing and be in the same tuning that you were when you recorded it. I think that's important.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, with actual real vocals. Yeah, it's
don't get me wrong. I've been known to lip sync, but that was only for medical reasons. Other than that,
Well, I'll tell you, all I want to do is F myself. The song, it's on the new album, and it's really, out of all of them, it's really turned into one of my favorites, because a song dedicated to how beautiful you yourself are, Michael, and then the fact that you just had to finally tell the truth that as fine as these bitches are,
I got a funny story for that song.
Yeah? Tell me.
That song was originally written. We thought, okay, let's do something different. We're gonna do our own solo songs, solo records, but it's only going to be one song on it. Kind of like Kiss.
Yeah.
So, Lexi's was going to be that song. That was his song. And because it was supposed to be about Lexi, right?
Right.
All I want to do is F myself tonight, you know, because it's so hot. And so it turns out, look, the label's like, you guys can't do your own solo record. You suck. So we just put that on the record, and I sang it. And we found out that Lexi can't sing in key. So that's how that song came about. Cool, man.
It's the whole song is about how hot the bitches are, but are you really as hot as what I see in the mirror right now?
It's so
you know
funny.
What? All I want to do tonight is F myself. I just want to F myself. It really makes me laugh every single time, man. But then, you know, like some of the stuff, like I ain't buying what you're selling. All kidding aside, like I'll find myself listening to that going, man, they're just showing how really, truly good they are right now.
That's nice you say, dude. Well, you know, Satchel's our main songwriter and lyricist. Basically, he writes everything. I just walk around and go to the beach. And then he tells me what to sing. I'm not joking. That's me. That's what he used to tell me. He said, hey, listen, I'll write. You go hang out with those girls. Go to the beach and get relaxed. So when you come in, you know, I'll tent and you can sing good. And then I come in and sing the words. But then I started having some more input on the songs, and that's when we really started blowing up.
Yeah,
and
of course.
I, you know, I looked at I don't want to be, I'm modest, I don't want to give away our secrets, but I'll be honest with you, that song, when I first sang it live for the first time after the record came out, I felt pretty awkward talking about wanting to F myself. But I'll tell you, man, everybody wants to do that to themselves. Like, when you're getting ready in the mirror before you go out, you want to make sure you look good enough to want to have sex with yourself.
And then you're thinking, why do I even want to waste my time chatting up some broad when I could just look in the mirror at myself and get so much hotter?
Yeah. I spent so many days and so many nights in the bathroom for hours and hours partying by myself. You know
what I mean? Hours and hours. It doesn't take me that long.
Yeah.
Yo, just get in there with a mirror and some rails and just go, man, go. Just all you got to do. And, you know, here's the best part is you're the only one talking, so the reflection has to listen.
Yeah, I'll never forget. I had one of those experiences, a bathroom party with, I'm not kidding you, Jack Russell from Great White and Stephen Piercy from Rat, and I'm just this little kid in the bathroom in North Hollywood. It sounds really creepy, but it was actually really fun.
you kind of had to have been in the bathroom party situation, you know, like, yeah.
That's gross, but man, it was fun, dude.
Dude, I can't wait to see the show. Sunday night, man, at the Midland Theater, the show is on. Steel Panther rolls back in town. If you've not yet been able to feel the steel, it is time. And it's one of those shows, like, talking about, it's impossible to perfectly and accurately describe until you see it. It's that good. It's the greatest rock show you'll ever see. Man, I know that you're up early in the Wichita, and you're cruising. I just check your six. Don't give money to strangers, and don't get in anybody's car.
I'm just trying to stay away from the geese. They're like following me everywhere. They got food.
When you get into Kansas City, do you not get in? Do you not get into Kansas City until Sunday, or you went on Saturday?
We have a few more shows. We have three more shows, and the show in your town is the last show. And then we fly home. So I truly don't know where we're going. Oh, we're playing Wichita tonight.
Okay, doing Wichita tonight. All right.
That explains why you're there.
Yeah.
Then you got Oklahoma. Sure. You got to get down to Oklahoma. You're playing Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, I can't wait.
All right,
Girl from Oklahoma.
Oh, they got to lose their minds. Girl from Oklahoma. Have you heard that?
No.
Oh, I'll play after we hang up. I'll play him. I'll work him through a Girl from Oklahoma and All I Want to Do.
That's a good song.
Yeah,
you'll enjoy it.
That's great. Listen, brother.
Hey, it's really good talking to you guys. I love you, Josh.
Yeah, man. Great talking to you, and I'm a huge fan of your band. Huge fan.
I appreciate it, man, a lot. It's always nice to hear that. And you guys, I don't know, man. I'm stoked to be up. I don't know what to do with myself now because I ran out of cocaine. But
in Wichita, you'll find out.
Yeah.
It's not going to be good coke in Wichita. But You, I'll see you in a couple days, brother. Love you, man.
All right, you guys. Have a good one.
Bye. Yeah. So Oklahoma, girl from Oklahoma, it's fantastic. It was one of the first things they ever did. They came in and they did it live in the studio. Where's the acoustic live in Kansas City one? Let me see if I can find this, because that's here it is. I'll just play you a little bit of it.
Ah, feels good. Early morning with Steel Panther. Yeah. Well, I bet you never guessed when you came to the show. You've been getting on the bus with me and doing some blow. Your mama's in the parking lot looking for you. She's gonna find you when I'm done, all covered with. Hair on her armpits, zits on her fox. In Oklahoma City, you're considered a fox. What'd you have to do for that backstage pass? 'Cause I found a poison laminate inside of your Come on, pretty baby, suck my all night. And mama's...
Well, hold on a second. What happened there?
You forgot the words.
I didn't forget the words. You forgot the words.
No, you forgot the words.
I was waiting for you to sing it. What are the words?
Are you supposed to sing it at the same time for the song?
Huh?
Let's do the whole chorus at the same time. Okay. Two, three, four.
Come on, pretty baby, suck my all night. The driver says we're leaving, come morning light. Spit out that retainer and do me right. Oh, come on, pretty baby, suck my all night.
Now we got it. It's amazing.
Woo! I feel good, I wanna rock with you, yeah. I wanna thank you for the loving that you spread over me. I was singing about you on the next CD. You won't have to wonder if you caught BD. You'll be screaming my name when you sit down to pee. I'm on the star, your mother trucker. Whoa, whoa. So come on, pretty baby, suck my all night. I'm hopped up on Cialis and you're high as a kite. I know it tastes infected, but I think it's alright. Oh, come on, pretty baby, suck my all night.
Isn't that great?
That Michael Starr, you mother trucker, is hilarious.
It's the best.
They have really good timing.
Oh, and this is that. So here's the all I wanted to do is have myself. It's a song, an ode to how beautiful he looks. And he knows he looks good. And bitches, you better come strong. You know? This is truly one of the ones that lyrically that I got into. I was like, Jesus Christ.
You're looking good, but not good enough to take my mind off the really hot stuff. If you want a hot love injection, you have to look as good as my reflection.
So good, man.
That is, and by the way, it's great music.
Yeah, no, they're as good as it gets, period.
What other rock band is playing that type of music right now?
None. There's a new band called Dirty Honey, but it's very, very good. It's a little more retro, but this is like these guys musically. If you haven't seen the show, that's what I'm saying. You should stay in town Sunday if you could.
I wish I could, man.
But you got Friday, Saturday night in Kansas City.
Do you listen to Greta Van Fleet at all?
Of course. Yeah. I wasn't a giant Zeppelin fan anyway. Yeah. So do I enjoy them? Absolutely. They're incredible. Except for the lead singer looks like a hobbit.
Yeah. You don't expect that voice to come. Yeah.
He's got that weird curly hair, and I always want to see him in no shoes.
see if those toes are hairy?
Yeah.
Well, so you weren't a Zeppelin guy?
No, just for whatever reason, because I went right to metal. Like, because as soon as I was old enough, it was Van Halen, it was Maiden, it was Motley, it took off from there. Right. So I didn't have an appreciation until I got older for the older stuff from the 70s.
Yeah, Zeppelin to me, and the Greta Van Fleet, they're kids.
Yeah.
But they sound so mature. Like, yeah, it's look, a mature sound.
I have no problem. Who doesn't borrow? Everybody's such a cynical prick, and they hate to see others doing well, so everybody gets goofs on them because they sound like Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to sound like someone, I'd go with that.
Yeah.
And you know what? He also can't help the way his voice sounds.
That's right.
That's what his voice sounds like. But the truth of the matter is we need some rock and roll.
Sure.
So whatever, you know what band that my son and a lot of his friends really gravitated towards even before the movie was Queen. Like Queen had a huge resurgence with these younger guys.
Yeah, they absolutely, my nephew borrowed my entire Queen catalog.
Right?
3-4 years ago and was like, I really love, I was like, really?
Yeah.
You're awesome. Take us. And then I was on my way home. I was on a plane watching the movie.
Yeah.
And I was, it got to Wembley and I'm sobbing like a pussy. Like, I'm like, don't look at me, airplane lady. Like, guys, I got my headphones in. So I'm like, like, that's like awful.
I mean, by the way, I've on the plane, I ran into a little bit of problem on a plane recently. You know, I'm a weed guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was smoking weed with a guy and we played jokes on each other. And he says, I asked him, I go, man, how do you get high on planes? Because I take edibles. And he said, I vape on planes. And I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, you should try it. And I said, hey, man, like if this is a joke, I'm going to go to jail. Mm-hmm. And you know, he said to me, he goes, there's no jails on planes, dude. I go, yeah, but they are when you land, man. Like, you can't just do whatever you want on a plane because there's no jail there.
Yeah.
They'll take you to one when you land.
Yeah, that's a ridiculous idea. Yeah.
So, but he goes, no, man, you should try it. I do it every week. So I said, all right. So I was from LA to New York. It was a red eye.
It's a long one.
And it was red eye. And so I go, I'm going to wait till everybody goes to sleep. I'm going to try to vape on the plane. So I take a hit and I asked him, I go, what do you do? And he goes, I blow it into my shirt.
Oh,
so
no.
I blew it into my shirt and I stuck out my arms because I was wearing a hoodie and I just, I was waiting for the smoke to leave my cuffs, you know, just to see if there's any. So nothing. So I'm waiting. I was like, oh, I can vape on vapes on planes. I'm the Samuel Jackson of weed here, right? You know what I mean? I'm ready. So I take like 5 or 6 more hits.
Oh, no.
And then when I land in the morning, I stand up feeling pretty good. And the guy behind me, the whole flight goes, hey, man, I thought you were on fire a couple of times on the flight over. I said, what? Because all the smoke was coming out of the back of my neck. He said he turned on the air behind me. He was like, this dude's hot. He's really hot. And he turned.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
All of the smoke was. He said I looked like a chimney.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's
it. Because you really will get in some serious trouble.
I said, a good dude for not.
And you got to travel, Jack. I go edibles. You know, they got those things that. Have you seen those things that you put dryer sheets inside of? And
what?
You blow into? And it's for kids in dorms. Like, but now with the vape, this is what you need. I'll have to show you this thing. Because somebody turned my buddy onto it. I go, what is that? It was a fleshlight?
Yeah.
But it's not. And you put dryer sheets in it and you literally blow into it and then it filters it out the other side.
That's amazing.
It's about as big as a beer can. And you could definitely take that on a plane.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a rubber tube.
I usually take edibles on my plane rides. You know what?
So I don't do drugs on planes. I'm like, that's just a bad idea.
I will only smoke weed. But here's the thing. They need to start changing. You know, they have like cute little names for weed, like Maui Wowie.
No, I buy weed when I go through Colorado because I have friends who smoke. But I'm like, I can't not do it because we grew up being terrified of getting caught with drugs, right?
Yeah.
So I have to go in and I'm like, look, I don't know what all this means. Stop,
stop
naming it this. Just what is the highest level THC you act like?
Yeah. They should name the weed after what it's going to do to you.
Yes.
Okay.
Right? Yes. Like, you know what weed I would never buy? Gets up 4 times to see if the oven's on.
Yes.
I hate that weed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Blue Moon Bubbles doesn't explain it.
Yeah. Checks my pulse 8 times in a minute. I don't want that weed.
What's this one called? The Wompers.
Yeah. No. Falls asleep on top of the covers fully clothed. Yeah. I want that weed. Yeah, like, it should tell you what it's going to do. That's why. Because weed now is way more powerful.
This one's called Roof of Mouth Shred.
Yeah. This one's called Stare Out the Windows.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't want that weed. I want the weed.
That's why I can't smoke. It affects me so badly. Like, yeah. I just don't smoke. It just doesn't work for me.
But that's what's crazy. So we were talking, I forget who I was talking about this with yesterday. I was never a Coke guy. Because Coke made me tell people to shut up and put more drugs down. That was it.
Of course.
I didn't want to talk to you.
It's a terrible drug. Terrible.
And so I didn't love that. And booze was never it for me either, because I always make bad.
Booze is for me, for sure. I like whiskey.
I make bad life decisions.
Sure.
I make bad life decisions. Right? Don't you?
But, yeah, well, I bought a pinball machine once.
Okay, yeah.
New.
Yeah.
From Stern.
Really?
Yeah.
It's really kick-ass.
$8,000. I'm almost paid off.
Are you a drunk shopper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so.
I'm an Ambien and weed shopper. Johnny, you know what showed up at my house one day that I forgot I ordered? A custom-made Harley Davidson refrigerator. It showed up, and I was like, what's this? And they were like, I don't know. So I opened it, and I was like, who ordered this? And I called my wife. I'm like, babe, did you order a Harley Davidson refrigerator?
So great.
And she said, did you really need to ask me if I ordered a Harley Davidson refrigerator?
Do you ride?
So, no. So,
so
I call the place that made these custom. I go, what is this? And they were like, did we not get the order right? And I was like, I don't think I ordered this. And they were like, yeah, you did. And they showed me the order. Sure enough, it was 3:37 in the morning on a Wednesday. I'm like, yeah, that was probably me. Yeah.
If it's not expensive, I like it.
Yeah.
If it's just like, I'm like, what? I ordered, and I came in, I think I showed, did I show you guys the magic trick I ordered for like, it was like $9. I ended up giving it to Hector. It was a little baby hand that could fit on your pinky.
I have one of those.
Yes.
Jesus.
And it's got the magic. Oh yeah. I won't ruin the trick. I'll let you show. And I go, what is this? I had to back engineer my tracks and go to the tracking, then go to the website and then find out. And I go, why would I buy this?
Listen, I want to show you something.
And it's one of my favorite things. I ended up giving it to Hector, but I had one of these.
This is all I smoke out of is baby hands. I only smoke out of baby hands. When I smoke my weed, I smoke it out of a baby hand.
Did you get the trick where you get the magnetic coin?
No.
So here's what you do. So you put it on your finger like this, right? And this comes under, and you hold it back, and then you literally go out and pick the coin up and then bring it back inside your hand. So,
wait, the baby hand?
Yeah. So it looks like a baby hand comes out from under the shell.
I love those little baby hands.
Yeah,
I love
and I must have seen it in the video. It made me laugh. And I'm like, I'm going to get me one of those. It came out. It was like a little penny. And I showed it to Hector, and he laughed. And I'm like, here, take the baby hand. And it goes on your pinky, and you cup your hand like a shell, and then it comes out and literally grabs it from outside.
You're going to have so many same-day Amazon orders today to get in before you
leave. I love it. What's your favorite drunk purses?
It would be the pinball machine. Would be my favorite drunk, because I still love it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I bought flamethrowers. I bought.
Do you remember buying them when they show up?
Yes, the big ones. Because I actually canceled and ordered a pinball machine probably 5 times. I'd order it. I'd see it in my email and cancel it the next morning. And I did it. And then one time I just was like, I'm not canceling it. I'm going to be a brave boy.
You clearly want it.
Yeah. There's room on my credit card, and I'll pay it off within 3 years.
And it brought the rest of us so much joy.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's been fun. I'm trying to see if I still have a video of that crazy little baby hand.
The flamethrower is an interesting purchase.
It's a great one, though, man. You can't go wrong with a flamethrower. Like, there's no downside to having a flamethrower.
What's the best thing you've lit on fire with your flamethrower?
Oh, boy. Man, that's a great question, because there's been so much.
Do you set up? Do you set things up?
Thing to do, yeah. Our favorite thing to do was there's two things we do. We get a ton of fireworks, regular fireworks, stand fireworks, and either set some kind of a shield up, like your side by side out in the woods, and then throw a whole box or a trash bag full of brand new fireworks into the fire, or set the bag there and hit it with the flamethrower until it starts to go, and then you have to run away before it hits you.
That's amazing. Like, that's like a scene out of a movie.
It's absurd. It's absurd out the land. Disgrace land. It's absurd.
You know, you should do that and then have someone film you slow-mo running away from it with it exploding in the background.
Right.
That would be a great video.
Yeah. Especially if you get it like good tight depth of field shot. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you something about the flamethrower. What's the distance on that thing?
Well, there's multiple, and that's where it gets super interesting. I wonder if I have a video of it here anywhere.
I mean, is it 20 yards?
Well, I sent you the one.
I can shoot. I got one that'll shoot 110 feet.
Let me show
you. This is not mine, but this is the company I bought it from.
110 feet?
Let's throw a flame.
Oh, that is a long... Listen, if I'm 100 feet away from you and you bring out a flamethrower, I'm like, go ahead, man. What are you going to do with that? And you're like, let me show you here.
Yeah, here, check
you might want to back up 15 feet.
I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to get to the part where it shows you, because it's a bit of a... Let me get to the part where it's actually shooting it.
That...
All right, so well, let me go backwards. Here, now you have to kind of come around this way. So this one is the biggest one. Now watch it. Keep watching. Still going. Which sits at 60 feet right about now. 70, 80. Still going. 110 right about there. Amazing or no?
That honestly,
is that not the greatest thing you've ever seen?
I honestly, by the length of the fire, I was like, "Well, there's a dragon at the other end of that, right?"
Yeah, right.
I mean, this is from Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah,
this is
straight Lord of the Rings.
That is crazy.
Listen, we can go shoot it whenever you want.
So
look at the clowns.
I guess you don't need so much.
These clowns setting that car on fire. Isn't that ridiculous?
I mean, it looks like he just torched an ice cream truck.
The most dangerous thing we ever did with it is Josh Blue.
Yeah.
He came in and goes, "I want to do it." And I go,
"Did you okay. say I'll give you a head start?"
Yeah. So I put him in a fire coat.
Uh-huh.
And not because he's not, obviously, he's capable of doing it, but physically, it's a bit tricky.
He has cerebral palsy, everybody.
And so I put him in a fire coat and a fireman's hat, like a helmet, on my deck. And I go, "All right, I'm going to film you." All right. So there's like,
"Hi, everybody. It's me, Fire Marshal Blue, and I'm here to start your fire."
He's just a little puff. But then he moves, and the whole thing falls asleep.
Right down.
In his helmet.
You shouldn't let me have this.
His helmet falls off.
I was on the same season of Last Comic Standing with him.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody had ever seen Josh Blue. Nobody had ever seen his style of comedy. Nobody had ever seen him get on stage and make fun of himself.
Right.
So he, in 5 minutes, he probably did 2 minutes of material because the rest was applause. I mean, he crushed. And he and I had never met, but we got assigned together. We were living together, right?
When
we could film. And so it was just for the night. And he even said to me, "Whoever has to follow me tomorrow is in trouble. 5 minutes of me." He said, and I'm not saying this because I'm super cocky, but like nobody's ever seen and people like me automatically when I walk on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm giving them permission to laugh at things that they've always wanted to laugh at.
Absolutely,
right?
Man. No doubt about it.
So the release is massive. He goes, "Whoever has to follow me," because people haven't. So guess who had to follow him?
Mm.
So, you know, I'm a comic.
That sucks, man.
So my instinct has always been if somebody's, I poke fun of them a little bit.
Sure.
Well, that I said out.
You kicked the crippled kid.
I said out loud because I just assumed everybody had the same sense of humor as comics.
Right.
I said out loud. I said, "Great, just my luck. I had to follow a prop comic." Right. because
which he would have laughed.
He
at.
Did sure laugh at. He has a great sense of humor.
Of course,
guess who didn't have a sense of humor? Everybody else.
Dude, he told me, it's funny, but not funny. You know, he is very serious about it. Cause you know, look, it's a physical impairment. It's not a mental impairment.
Yes.
Right. And so, you know, he's done a lot from where he was born in South Africa to being in the Paralympics. I mean, all the things he's accomplished in his life. Lives on the side of a goddamn mountain now.
Dude, he's had an amazing career.
So he gets to, and you know, it's the Holy Grail, the Montreal Comedy Festival.
Yep.
And so he gets there, and right before he goes on stage, he goes, "To this day, I'm still angry." But right before he went out, you know, he'd fought his way to get there, and he didn't want to be there because he's the guy with cerebral palsy and tells jokes. He wants to be there, obviously, because he's a real comedian. And the person running it comes up, hugs him with all honest intentions, and goes, "You are so brave."
Oh, no.
And to this day, it pissed him off so much. Like, his girlfriend knows, like, she'll do that to torture him.
Yeah.
She'll be like, "You are so brave."
Oh.
So now when I see him, I'll be like, "You are so brave."
Oh, that's all I'm going to ever say to him from now on.
Just tell him, but before you do it, just tell him you know the joke.
Yeah. But yeah, I can imagine for him, because he is a genuinely funny, hysterical dude.
He's goddamn fearless.
Man. Yeah. But he doesn't want your
pity.
And
when I say fearless, I mean not fearless because he's afraid of being embarrassed about his physical situation. No, he's fearless. I had to tell him, stop wandering into homeless camps here in Kansas City by the Improv. There's a homeless camp out by the airport.
Wait, why was he wandering in there?
Because he thinks it's fun. And he'd go through their stuff when they're not there.
That's not true.
As God is my witness. And I'm like, seriously, he told me.
What do you mean? What do you mean? He would just walk in and look through their stuff?
Yeah, and he goes, look, I found a knife. He'd show it to us. And I'm like, hey, you got to stop doing that. I go, someone's going to kill you, man.
Not only that, like, are you not wearing gloves?
Yeah.
Are you?
Sorry. I mean, so when I say fearless, I don't mean because he's a guy with cerebral palsy going out. He doesn't fear stuff. Like, have you seen where he lives? He bought this land, and it's a lot. It's like 40 or 60 acres in Colorado, which normally would be way beyond anybody's price range.
Yeah.
But it's on the side of a very, very, very steep mountain.
Yeah.
And he's walking around on the side of this mountain with, you know, physically impaired. Because when I tell you, again, fearless means he's just not afraid.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
It's not society. It's danger.
But think about how he grew up. What else does he have to be scared of?
That's it.
In his brain, what I've already been through, what you scare me for?
Yeah.
What you scare me? Because, listen, man, you were a kid. You're telling me you wouldn't have thrown a joke at him?
Nah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. When I was a kid, if we were friends, I would throw a joke at
him.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
But I wouldn't have picked just a kid. Like
but
that.
No. But there are people.
Sure.
I'm sure he must have just gotten killed.
Oh, no. There's always going to be a-hole kids.
There's got to be somebody, right?
Well, imagine, A, you were in South Africa. And
that's right.
Yeah, and you're a white kid, and I mean, what do you think is going to happen if you're walking around crippled? And there's so much have not in the world.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the only thing to strike at, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you're gonna get targeted.
I got to tell you, man, I would have targeted him just for playing soccer.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you this. So, by the way, if you're just joining the show, Josh Wolf is here with us, and he's the Improv KC. We're talking about Blue, but so the Ren Fair's in town.
Yeah.
It's in town all month in Kansas City. The Renaissance Fair is in October.
One of my favorites.
So I'm with LJ from Seven Dust.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a big smoker.
Yeah.
And he lives here. And, you know, Blue is a big smoker. And I'm hanging out with just a few of us, and I'm not smoking, but they're walking through the Ren Fair. Huzzah! And turkey legs getting high. Everybody's getting high. We're walking around laughing all day. And it's a weird group of people. I'm like, here's a Grammy-nominated rock star who's this real handsome guy, looks like a football player, you know, and he's real stocky and muscular. And then you've got, you know, Josh Blue, who's walking around, and he's got his gait, and he's high. And we walk around the corner, and there's an insult guy, like a ye olde insult, throw a tomato at me. And this guy's so he starts goofing on me, and he goofs a little on LJ. He's not really goofing on Blue. And then Blue gets three or four tomatoes. Do you know about him? Do you know he can throw like nobody's business?
No.
Dude, he picks up this goddamn tomato, and nobody was hitting this guy.
Were you allowed to throw tomatoes at him?
That was the whole thing. So you buy like $5 worth of these tomatoes and throw them at this guy who's mother effing you through a window. And dude, like, and you can see
like
this
the scene
guy
from
like,
Grease?
Yes. And he's like, I don't think I should make fun of this guy because clearly he's got a handicap. And dude, by the second time, he was ready to leave. He drilled him so goddamn hard and so perfectly with the craziest windup you've ever seen in your life.
In the face?
An arrow. It was like an arrow. He did a baseball movie where they made him the pitcher in the movie because he can throw so well. Jake, what was the name of the movie?
Josh Blue?
Josh Blue was in about, it was about a handicapped baseball team.
108 stitches.
108 stitches, yeah. And not many people saw the movie, but I'm telling you, he can really throw. Then we watched him throw goddamn tomahawks.
Yeah.
What?
What's he have at his house?
What's funny? They throw knives and tomahawks at his house, and his kids can do it too.
Mm-hmm. That is unbelievable.
That's like building comedy into your life just so somebody will assault you. And you're like, pick up a tomahawk. They're like, what are you going to do with that? You're like, That's like building the scene prehand.
Yeah, by the way, you know the cops show up to that. You're like, explain it. You know, Josh walks out. Explain again how he got hit with that axe. I threw it at him.
You're taking the fall for someone, son.
No, I really threw it at him. Explain it again. Yeah. That is bananas. Yeah. I had no idea. Those Renaissance fairs make me laugh, though.
I love them.
Yeah, I love going high when someone's like, well, like when a plane flies over and they're like, look at that dragon. I'm like, this, come on, man. I understand you're wearing the clothes, but you don't call that a dragon. We just don't want to call it a plane. You know what I mean?
But they're selling you soda out of there. You're like, the oldie Coca-Cola.
Yeah, really? Okay.
And fat girls making back fat into breast meat. They take the corsets and they're taking their back fat. They're like, look at this, yield candy.
There is a, what is the, there's a motorcycle rally in Austin every year. I forget what it's called.
Yeah, there's a couple, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
There are more back titties.
Oh, you're that, talking about, I went down for
Rotten Rally, something like that.
I was there this year. That's what made me go. That's why I was there.
It's the Rot Rally.
Rot Rally.
Yeah, but it's the Republic of Texas Rally. Yeah. Yeah, ROT. Yeah, the Rot Rally. Yeah.
But
yeah, they're more back boobs. Yes.
If you drew nipples on a couple of those, you'd be like, that's not terrible.
And they parade them through the town. They leave the campground and they bring them through the main street of town back out to it. Yeah, that's why I was there.
Titties in the front, titties in the back. Can I say no? Okay. All right. I didn't know. What's the word you can use?
These boobs are breasts. Boobs? There's no
What's spider. The difference between?
None. The FCC just, you, but you can't reason with the FCC. Trust me. $250,000 ago, I tried it.
That is crazy.
Yeah. I once got fined $250,000. Part of it was naked twister on the radio.
Wait, but why? They can't see
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
What was the? I'm so curious. What was the reasoning?
Pandering, and titillating. Very great.
Can you say titillating?
Yeah, you can say titillating. Yeah, they're back titillating, front titillating. Yeah.
Wait a second. Really? You can't titillate?
Yeah. Apparently, it's not worth having a fight about. Because you're winning it again.
Like, you can't win.
I don't know what people get boners about, man. How do you know that I'm not pandering and titillating somebody if I talk about scissors and they're like, oh, scissors.
Right.
Scissors.
But you can call somebody a dickhead.
But you cannot talk about sucking anything.
Got it, because it's the action.
It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. And they forget that most people listening are grown-ups.
It doesn't matter, man. You look, if you're letting your kid listen to the show, you're a bad person. I can tell you that there was a very real consultant in town, a big consultant, you know, PR firm. And I happened to go by this website years ago, and I had to have our voice guy read the actual article he wrote about our show. Because I thought it was the greatest review I've ever had. And I'm telling you, there's something so sick inside of me that when I tell you this, in no way was I upset, embarrassed, mad. I honestly was like, I couldn't wait to let people hear this.
Listener discretion is advised. According to former media chronicler John Landsberg of PR firm Bottom Line Communications, the following program, The Johnny Dare Morning Show, has, quote, been on the radio more than 20 years in Kansas City, delivering strong ratings. If your children have listened to them, their minds have been polluted. He swears all the time on the air, his anti-religion, encourages kids to buy porn, sex items, and flamethrowers, refers to women as snatches, and believes marriage is a joke. He's a major reason why society has become so coarse. If you're a parent and allow your young kids to listen to his show, you're a lousy parent. This is the Johnny Dare Morning Show.
The Johnny Dare Morning Show.
On 98.9. The Rock.
What a... Is that not the greatest review you've ever heard?
That review would make me want to listen to your show.
Why do you think we have it? I was like, that's like the greatest advertisement for our show of all time.
That is, by the way, yeah. But if your kid is listening to that, you probably shouldn't be.
Yeah, that's right.
But
if we're doing Adult Toy Prices Right, maybe you don't let your 8-year-old listen. Or you're going to have a talk.
What do you give away on Adult Toy Prices Right?
Dildos, butt plugs, vibrators, nipple clamps.
It's a partridge in a pear tree.
I can tell you. So, you know, you get three people on the line, and you got to guess what the closest to the actual manufacturer's suggested retail price without going over is, and you will actually win the item that day. What was our last item for ladies? You still have it in the system?
Yes, I do, actually.
Let me guess. I think this would have been yesterday, I'll let you guess the price.
Okay.
But Greg does a description of it, okay. And we have it in the studio.
How close are you? How good are you at guessing the prices?
I'm terrible at it. To me, it doesn't even make sense. We use the actual price on the box we get from the store. But so here's the...
Hey, girls, our item up for bid today is the 6-inch glitter, part of the Naturally Yours series from Blush. All the girls know that everything's better with glitter. And now you can unleash your inner sparkle with the glitter. 6 inches long, realistic balls, and it's such a good bag. It's all sorts of glittery fun, just like this kid's song.
Glitter bugs hop and glitter bugs twirl. A glitter bug, be a glitter bug.
Yeah, be a glitter bug.
Glitter bugs are clean boys and clean girls. A glitter bug, be a glitter bug.
And just remember to throw the packaging away, because you want to be a glitter bug, not a litter bug. Are you sufficiently creeped out yet? No? Let me help that. This thing looks like something your 13-year-old niece would buy at Five Below at the mall. I'm going to get some lip gloss. Some strawberry pocky sticks. Maybe a Pokemon keychain for my backpack. And this 6-inch glitter dick. Are you happy now? You forced me to do this. You forced me. Place your bids, girls. It's the 6-inch glitter from Blush. And it can be yours, glitter bugs, if the price is right.
It's creepy.
All right. So,
and what do you think of the prices?
It's basically a dildo.
It's just a silicone dildo,
6 inches
with a suction cup,
glitter on it.
Yeah, in it.
In it.
It's see through.
Oh, glitter in it.
Yeah, it's through it. Yeah, it's see through.
$29.99.
$23.99.
Oh, yeah. All right. But I went over. Price is Right rules.
But if everybody goes over, then you got this. And this one was pretty creepy, too. See, listen.
For the ladies, our item of forbid is the
sex, please.
8-inch perfect penis from Top Coat Sales. Yes. Ladies, this extraordinary penis is going to turn out to be your toy of choice the moment it's in your possession. The tip is just like the real thing. It's wonderfully straight and hard. It has big, juicy balls. Where it differs is the absence of throbbing things, which is more visually attractive to some.
But is that what makes it perfect? No.
Is it the fact that it has 7 insertable inches?
No.
Is it the fact that it's made of soft, firm PVC?
No.
Is it the realistic tip and balls?
No.
I say,
you know, and I know that the reason that this is the perfect penis
is the fact that there isn't the rest of a guy attached to this.
The perfect penis won't leave the toilet seat up.
The perfect penis always wants to watch rom-coms on Netflix.
The perfect penis doesn't care that you use the stupid term rom-com.
The perfect penis is always there to listen to your problem.
Well, guess what? The perfect penis doesn't have a job, so guess who's not taking you to dinner?
You know what the perfect penis wants to do? Get all up in your guts. You know why? Because that's what he was built to do.
Get guts? Get all in your guts, girl.
Yeah. Get up in them guts.
I'm going with this, but I think I just wrote a hit song. Girl, it's going to get all up in your guts. Who smells gold records?
It's the sex, please.
8-inch perfect penis from Topco Sales, and it can be yours, ladies, if the price is right.
Yeah. Gonna get up in your guts.
Get up in your guts. How's that not a Steel Panther song?
Oh, we don't think we stopped there. Which, by the way, before we go any further, what would you pay for that item?
Okay, well, listen. No glitter. No glitter, but 2 extra inches.
Yes.
And no veins.
Yes.
And the other one was $23.99, and I guess $29.99. So take away the glitter, that drops the price. Add 2 extra inches, you add a little extra price, $29.99.
$168.99.
Oh, that was for that one?
No, that was the price.
What was the price for his?
I don't remember what that price was.
There it is.
We had a song that went. Oh, God! Did that hurt you?
You're a dick. You're a dick for doing that.
Did it leave a mark? Let's take a look.
I'm sure it did.
Let's take a look. Did it leave?
A little bit. There's a pretty good handprint there.
Oh yeah, Johnny, you got a shapely hand. Well, you know, when I was growing up, I had 3 older brothers.
Yeah.
And one of the things they used to love to do during around Thanksgiving is whenever they'd see me with my shirt off, they would give me a turkey.
Sure.
They'd handprint me.
Yeah.
And then they'd draw the turkey. You know, when you were a kid, you'd do their handprint.
Sure.
And
sure.
So that That's was their funny. Favorite thing. But, here,
but before we get to that, okay. Can I hear the song?
Yeah.
That led to the gall up in your guts?
100%.
Hello.
Hey, girl. I've been thinking about you all day long. Oh, yeah, that's right, girl. I've been thinking about all the things I want to do to you when I get with you. When I'm down in the ruts, you know, it drives me nuts. Girl, I want to get up in them guts.
Oh, my God.
There's something you ought to know. There's a very special place that I want to go.
Yeah, a place as soft as a velvet glove. I want to be
balls deep.
Up in your love.
Well, you know your loving makes me scream and shout. Yeah, like the Titanic, wanna knock the bottom out.
That's not historically correct.
Yeah, sure, but keep your mouth shut. I'm just trying to tell my girl I wanna get up. All in them guts.
All up in those guts.
Yeah. All up. I said I wanna get up in your guts.
It's a great song.
Yeah, that's Greg in the other room.
Really?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's a pretty special song.
It really is.
It really is.
It makes me...
Hold on. Is this a breakdown?
Hold on, wait. In a more poetic way. Although there may be miles and miles between us. I want to put a dent in one or more of your vital organs with my penis.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah.
All up in them guts, man.
Gonna get all up in them guts.
Yeah, I wish I hadn't made eye contact with him when he said that.
Yeah. Hey, going backwards, you remember the video we were telling you about the little hand?
Yeah.
I was teaching Sassy Von Fancy Pants, my girlfriend, how to do it. So here's the little hand.
Let's see. Oh no, that's amazing. That is a good one.
Yeah.
I mine didn't make a.
You got to buy a little coin. It's a little magnetic coin because it might have a. It should. You know, I'm going to send you one. Just give me your address. I'm going to send you something. I'll send you something.
I like that one a lot. I like the weird. I like weird things.
Yeah.
I like the little baby hands. Yeah. All those things make me giggle a little bit.
Yes.
Why
weird
not?
Weird stuff is my thing, man.
One of my favorite things to do is scour the internet.
You got to come to my house. It's the weirdest house you'll ever be in.
That's what we like. I like to walk into someone's house and go, why did they buy that? I'm so glad they did.
I'm not going to say it on the air, but maybe you come by tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah. For refreshment.
Can I bring the people that I travel with?
Sure. How many people?
Just two.
Okay. I was like, yeah,
not,
sure.
Not like, I don't have an entourage.
This is my drum circle?
No. The
two small children.
No. The comics that come with me.
Of course, man. Hell, if depending on how the weather looks, man, we can go out to Disgraceland and shoot the flamethrower. Well, we for sure can shoot the smaller flamethrower I have, which I shouldn't say smaller. It's just a different kind. It doesn't use CO2. And it's my friends here in Kansas City made it. And it's a really fantastic one. Vulcan made it.
Really?
Yeah, Vulcan. So it's pretty fun. And that one we can shoot even at my driveway.
I am really excited. And the people that I'm bringing are going to be really excited.
Let's do that. We'll do it.
I'm in.
I'll have you meet me at the house. We'll go get some lunch. And we'll go out to Disgraceland and shoot the flamethrower.
Hell yeah. Hell yes.
Yeah,
I'm really excited because generally on Saturdays, what I do in cities is I get into a cab and I tell them, hey, take me somewhere where I can see something in your city. Cause I like weird.
Yeah.
Can I tell you my two favorite answers I've ever gotten?
What?
Okay. So I got into a cab in Peoria, Illinois. And I said to the guy, I go, take me somewhere where I can see something I can't see in any other city. And dude looks in the rearview mirror and he goes, you ever seen a dead body? And I was like, no. Jesus. And he goes, do you want to? I said, no. I go, no.
What's the name of that movie, Down by the River?
Yeah.
No, not Down by Me, but the other one, The River with Christian, what's his face in it? Down by the River, whatever?
River's Edge.
Yeah. Don't look at me.
It was crazy. I was like, no, I don't want to see a dead body. My favorite answer ever was in Atlanta. And I said to the guy, I go, take me someplace where I can see something. I can't stay anywhere else. And he said, you ever seen a grown woman crush beer cans with their boobies? And I was like, no. And he goes, do you want to go? I go, yeah, man, step on the gas, man. What are we doing? It was a place called the Claremont Lounge.
That's what it is. I've actually read about it, and it's on Atlas Obscura.
Have you never been to the Claremont Lounge?
I have not, but I will go, and I've read about it.
Oh.
There's another one called Madam Somebody's Ping Pong Emporium.
Yes.
It's really good as well.
But this one, Goldie, is about 78 years old.
That's what I read. Yes, but I've never been there.
She's about 78. Her boobies are about 27, so they're fine. And she picks them up in the... You can YouTube it. You can find her online.
Yeah.
She lifts those giant boobs in the air and slams it down and crushes beer cans.
How much do you tip her for that?
No. She is like... It's not like... She stands behind the stage... I mean, behind the bar. It's like this weird... If you're getting a boner in there, there's something wrong with you.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not that kind of place.
Gotcha.
You know who else works there? Her daughter and her granddaughter.
Of course she
does. Yeah. It's a family affair.
Claremont Lounge
in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I think it's Claremont.
It says Claremont here. Claremont.
Okay.
And it's super nice. Oh, there she is.
Yeah. What picture they got of her?
It's she's just pretty. She's kind of, it's kind of a.
Let's see what we got. Oh yeah. Yep. Hello.
Oh, there's her and Slash.
Everybody has been there.
Sure.
I'm not gonna name drop who was sitting next to me at the bar, but
is it next to the Claremont Hotel?
It's in the Claremont Hotel.
I'm going.
It is. I can't believe you haven't seen that. It's special.
How far out of town or in town is it?
It's right there.
Section it is because
it's right there. It's what's the name of the?
Isn't there Five Point? Is it?
No. What's the name of the? Not Leschi Market. I can't remember the name of it.
I'm gonna look at it on the map.
It's
not far from Little Five Points. It's maybe a mile from Little Five Points. And then there's downtown Atlanta right there. There's,
I can't remember the name of the
Atlanta.
It's near Midtown is what it is.
Yeah, it's near, on this map it says it's not too far away from a Chipotle Mexican Grill.
That's true also. I've walked there from the hotel. I can vouch for that also. Near the Chipotle.
Oh, it's near Freedom Park.
And there's that trail that you walk.
Yeah, the Freedom Park Trail. Yep.
So it's special. It's the Goldie isn't your only entertainment.
Is it hard to get in?
No.
No.
There's a line if you wait too late, But it's worth your trip.
All right, I'll be down there in the springtime. I'll be there visiting a friend, so I know for sure I'll get there. Well, good, good. Well, Jesus Christ, you know what time it is?
I don't.
It's 10 o'clock.
It's 10 o'clock?
It's 9:50. I got to go.
Oh, yeah.
I got to run some commercials.
Yeah, and I have to go pee.
Jesus Christ, man. You've been here for two.
I almost peed in that trash can.
You can just go pee whatever you want, man.
Have you had anyone pee in the trash can here?
No, no. We let them leave.
You're like, no, I like weird. I don't dumb.
Now, I have thrown up in this trash can hungover. Been talking and have to turn the mic off while the others talk and go, brah. Like,
really?
And not when I was sick, but because I was, you know, self-induced.
Yeah, but you know, you powered through.
Yeah, of course. Because you know the drill. If you throw up, you're like, and I'm better.
And I feel way better.
Yeah.
And it's not the MDMA throw up, though.
Right. No, that's the best one
ever. Yeah.
I saw colors and got a half a boner.
Yeah. That's never felt better.
Oh, it never did. I was like, oh my God, I'm throwing up happy. Yeah.
The rainbow puke. I'm definitely coming out to your place.
Good. Tonight, okay. Tomorrow night. By the way, there are some, and I hope that's okay with you guys, but you know, we had some $10. There was a handful of $10 tickets that went up for sale on the Rock's website. It's part of our deal. There's a deal we do with the Improv, but you can get them. And I don't think it affects what you make. So
right.
If you guys want to go cheaper, $10. If you guys jump on 989therock.com on the perks deal, you can find some of those tickets to the KC Improv. Yes? Is that right?
And the people that are Stephen Randolph and Chelsea Skidmore are two people that they're opening for me.
Make sure to see them.
They work at the Comedy Store in LA, and they are not the normal people you see opening. They are extremely funny. Extreme. Good. It's a great show from top to bottom.
Good, man. Well, good. It's great to see you, brother. I'll see you tomorrow, for sure. So.
No. Good.
No, we're on. We'll have lunch tomorrow, man, and then we'll head out to Disgraceland, shoot flamethrowers. After we come by the house, I'll show you all the weird stuff.
I can't tell you how excited I am.
It'll be fun, man. It'll be a great time. Don't forget KC Improv tonight at the Zona Rosa. KC Improv tonight and tomorrow night. Two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow night. Jump online, get your tickets. If you want them for a little less, you can get on 99therock.com. Go to Perks and buy them for Josh Wolf. It's happening this weekend.
This is the Johnny Dare Morning Show.
The Johnny Dare Morning Show.
On 98.9 The Rock.
98.9 The Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.